at breakdownthewalls.com.
This program may not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Off the Shelf with Larry Allen of the Coalition for Government Procurement. Off the Shelf gives a voice to commercial service and product companies selling in the federal market. Larry speaks to members and government officials about procurement policy trends, innovations, and debates. Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Now here's your host, Larry Allen.
Before I introduce my guest today, I want to remind you, our loyal listeners, that we always welcome your feedback here on Off the Shelf. If you have a suggestion for a show guest or a topic that you'd like to see us cover here, shoot us an email. Our email address here at the station is offtheshelf@federalnewsradio.com. That's offtheshelf@federalnewsradio.com. My very special guest today, and I'm really delighted to have him in here, is Dan Gordon. Dan is the administrator of the Office of Federal Procurement Policy. Dan comes to that position from the Government Accountability Office, where he spent many years there as one of the senior most officials in the Legislative Branch Division. Now he's in the Executive Branch Division of the Office of Management and Budget as the government's chief procurement policy guru. So somebody of high interest to our listening audience. Dan Gordon, welcome to Off the Shelf.
Larry, I'm delighted to be here. Thank you.
Well, thanks for coming on. I really appreciate it, and I know your time is short, Dan, so we'll go through this. I want to get the maximum input for our listeners. So let's start off. Give our listeners a little bit of background on the Office of Federal Procurement Policy and the role it plays both inside OMB and in government acquisition generally. Dan, what are some of the main things your office is charged with? And how do you work with the different procurement agencies?
Larry, OMB is a very interesting place to work, I've got to tell you. We can talk more about that if you'd like.
Absolutely.
OSPP was established in 1974 and put inside of the Office of Management and Budget. OSPP has a very broad range of responsibilities, from helping oversee the development of acquisition regulations to looking at the administration's positions and coordinating the administration's positions on acquisition legislation, working with chief acquisition officers and senior procurement executives across the executive branch, managing the procurement data system for the for our entire acquisitions system, and much more.
So you all play a very large role inside the acquisition spectrum. It's kind of tough to ensure consistency across the different procuring agencies sometimes, though, isn't it? How do you all find that's working out for you, especially in the role and some of the things that you all are doing specifically these days?
It is challenging. The fact is that the federal government is the world's largest buyer, and we are split into many agencies, both on the civilian side and DOD, all of which are under the Office of Federal Procurement Policy. But it is a challenge to ensure not only that we have consistent policies across all the agencies, but that we implement them consistently.
Sounds good to me. Now, one of the things I want to ask you about before we move on to the next question is, you talked a little bit about the role in acquisition. Give us some sense of where in OMB the Office of Federal Procurement Policy is resident and how you interact with things like, say, the Office of Information and Regulatory Affairs.
OSPP is on the management side of the house within OMB. What that means is that I report directly to the Deputy Director for Management, Jeff Zions, who's also the country's Chief Performance Officer. My colleagues on the management side of the house are people that your listeners are very familiar with. Vivek Kundra, who heads the eGov office. Danny Werfel, a controller here and the head of the Office of Federal Financial Management. And Shelley Metzenbaum, who heads their team focused on performance improvements. But we really work as a team across all of OMB, so I work with the RMOs, the budget side of the house, as it's sometimes called in OMB, so that when acquisition issues come up any place, we're working together as a team across OMB.
Sounds good to me. Now, Dan Gordon, my guest here today, the administrator of the Office of Federal Procurement Policy, as I mentioned at the top of the show, your previous experience has been at the Government Accountability Office. That's actually a ledge branch office with different responsibilities than where you are now. What are some of the differences you've experienced so far?
It's interesting, Larry. It's interesting both when I think about the similarities and the differences. I've been here now just under 5 months, and in one sense, it's a huge change. I've moved from being an agency that did more by way of oversight of the executive branch to an agency that is working on leading the executive branch. We're executing, if you will, rather than overseeing. And that difference is a real one, and it's a challenging one. On the other hand, there are some real similarities because GAO in its work is usually focused on looking at the efficiency and the effectiveness of federal programs, and that's certainly something that we're focused on here at OMB. GAO looks at evaluating programs and how well they're working, certainly something that we're working on at OMB, and if we have time, we may be able to talk about issues like strategic sourcing and how well it's working. Another thing that's similar is a lot of the people. A lot of the people that I'm working with now, whether it's at DOD, at GSA, or the other agencies, are people that have been my colleagues for many years from my GAO days.
So in some cases it's very different, but I'm sure there are some similarities too, because we are talking about one big federal government. How are you finding the similarities in things like bureaucracy, working with people are still people regardless of what part of the government they work for, right?
Absolutely. And I have to tell you, I'm a people person, and my view is when you know someone, when you have a working relationship with the person, things work better. I'll tell you something else that's interesting in terms of the change but also the similarity. I find myself turning again and again to GAO reports on issues that we're working on within OMB. And I should say, with a tip of the hat to GAO, many of those reports are really useful.
Well, certainly giving your former agency the appropriate props there, I'm sure they'll like to hear that. And, of course, you still have some still accountability and interaction with Congress, I know. Lots of stuff that you're doing with them. And Congress does have a way of making its desires known, doesn't it?
It does, and I have to tell you, I have a good working relationship with many of the people on the Hill, with staffers on the committees on both the House and the Senate side, both on the majority and the minority side, and that really helps me in my work here. When I go up to a meeting, and I've had meetings this week on both the House and the Senate side, it's good to be able to sit down with people with whom I have a working relationship that goes back a good number of years.
Certainly, and even this may come as a surprise to some people who aren't regular listeners, but acquisition people are people too. And I'm talking this half hour here on Off the Shelf to Dan Gordon. Dan is the administrator of the Office of Federal Procurement Policy, the government's chief procurement policy executive. You're listening to us on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Every government agency has a distinct mission, yet they all share a common vision: to better serve the American people. And it's been the determination of every federal employee that's made this vision a reality and our country what it is today. The strategy and technology consultants of Booz Allen Hamilton are proud to have helped government clients meet their missions, and prouder still to continue providing support. Today, Booz Allen's 20,000 dedicated professionals have the expertise, the experience, and the solutions to help you continue adapting to ever-changing public service pressures while achieving your goals. So whether you're responding to today's demands or looking beyond the horizon, count on Booz Allen to help you be ready for what's next. Booz Allen Hamilton, delivering results that endure. BoozAllen.com. That's BoozAllen.com.
And we're back here on Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. For all of the world government procurement needs that you might be interested in, check out the Coalition's own website. It's thecgp.org. Some of the things that we have coming up, our breakfast series over the summer. And if you're new to the GSA program, we have our MAS boot camp. So all that's there and probably more than you ever wanted to know about government procurement and acquisition. We are talking this half hour to Dan Gordon. Dan is the administrator of the Office of Federal Procurement Policy, the government's chief procurement policy executive. We talked in our first segment a little bit about what the differences are between working for the GAO, which is a legislative branch office, and the Office of Management and Budget, which is part of the White House. And I wanted to talk a little bit, Dan, you'd mentioned in the first segment strategic sourcing is one of the issues that you're specifically dealing with. And I thought we'd use this time now to talk about that and some of the other major issues that OFPP is working on right now. Your office recently released a draft policy letter, for example, defining what constitutes an inherently governmental function. Strategic sourcing is another one. Press reports are to be believed, something called the high road. That's a pretty heavy schedule right there. Tell us a little bit about some of those issues and some of the things that you're hoping to achieve with these different policy initiatives.
I'll tell you a good number of the things, Larry. It would not be possible, though, without the very strong career staff that we have here in the Office of Federal Procurement Policy. I rely on them to help us move forward. We have three priorities, and everything that we do is fitting into those priorities, the issues that you mentioned and more. The first is, and the number one priority, is strengthening our acquisition workforce. That means helping them on the budget side with hires, and it means helping them with training. It means improving our Federal Acquisition Institute and improving the coordination among the various acquisition training centers. That's priority number one. Number two, we need to demonstrate fiscal responsibility. That means saving money. And it also means reducing risk to the government. And we can drill down there, too, if you want, because that's where strategic sourcing fits in.
Yeah, talk a little bit about that for a minute.
We can. Let me squeeze in, if you let me, priority number three.
Sure.
We have a full picture first. And that's rebalancing our relationship with contractors, because that's where the draft policy letter we issued on March 31st fits in. But if you want, we can turn now. Would you like to talk more about strategic sourcing?
Yeah, let's do that. That's an issue of high interest to a number of coalition members. It's been around for a while in different iterations. Tell us a little bit about where you are all with that and what your objectives are.
Absolutely. It is an issue that the government has wrestled with many years. We appreciate that we're not dealing with a clean slate here. But what we want to do is we want to focus on getting more benefit to the government by leveraging on our purchasing power. Let me give you the example that's out there right now, because I think it's a very good example. GSA has issued an RFQ for office supplies. They want to establish a new blanket purchase agreement that will be government-wide, not agency-specific. It will be government-wide for office supplies. They've done it listening to industry, which I think is smart and important, listening to their user agencies, which is smart and important for GSA to be doing. They're in the midst of the competition now, so, of course, I don't yet know what the outcome is going to be. It's a GSA-run competition. OMB isn't running it. But I'm optimistic that the way they've structured this is going to get us better results in terms of strategic sourcing than in the past. Let me give you a concrete example. When I looked at the RFQ after it was issued, I saw that they have a column in which they flag the best price that GSA was able to identify in a whole series of BPAs out there for these various items on the office supplies solicitation. They have a column, and I think they even called it the price to beat, so that we are focused on getting better prices than we've gotten in the past. That's the key to strategic sourcing. Of course, the other side is that we need to be sure that we continue to meet our obligation to Ability One and to the small businesses and the various parts of the small business community. We need to meet all of those goals, but I'm optimistic that GSA is on a path to move us forward in strategic sourcing.
Well, certainly we're looking forward to working with them in the coalition. GSA buys lots of things, Dan. Have you all looked at strategic sourcing from the perspective of a solution that might work well in one area, say office supplies, may not necessarily be one that works in another area, or how are you approaching this?
There is definitely an appreciation for the fact that we need to, we can't be looking for a one-size-fits-all solution. As I said, the trick is that GSA needs to listen more than they've done in the past to their customers, that is to say the other federal agencies, and they need to be listening to the vendors. You know, sometimes people think that because of my background at GAO or for whatever reason, that we're interested in shutting down communication between government and industry, and that is absolutely not the case. We need to have channels of communication open. And that's something that I would very much encourage. And the result will be that the solution that works for office supplies may not and probably won't work, for example, for services. And even within the services area, which is a very big area, there may be very different solutions for one kind of services than from another.
Well, that's exactly right, and that's one of the things that we're very actively engaged on the coalition side of things, and I think by dint of coming on the show today, that's a helpful sign of open communication that I certainly do appreciate. Tell us a little bit about the acquisition workforce, Dan. That's an issue that we do cover regularly here on Off the Shelf. It's one, again, where I think, to a large extent, industry and your office probably have the same desires in mind, and that is to have a very efficient, effective, well-trained acquisition workforce that can really be good business partners from an industry perspective with industry, but also to meet the government's own needs.
Absolutely, Larry. In my opinion, we have a once-in-a-generation opportunity for renewal of our federal acquisition workforce today. For many years, for more than 8 years, the acquisition workforce has been allowed to run down. We have not invested enough in hiring and in training, and we need to make an investment. I'm not talking about big government. I'm talking about a modest investment that will pay off for the government, that will have, as they say, a good return on investment. That's why the president's budget included $158 million for the civilian agency's acquisition workforce, which I think is unprecedented. Not only that, it talks about the need to address both hiring and training, and it appropriately defines the acquisition workforce broadly. I got to tell you, I'm not sure I've ever seen in a president's budget before a reference to contracting officers' technical representatives. And a budget that says we need COTRs, we need to train COTRs. It is a broad definition, and I think a good one.
I think so, too, and it's certainly interesting to see that, and sounded kind of fun if you're an acquisition professional, like my guest today, Dan Gordon, who you're listening to us today here on Off the Shelf. Dan is the administrator of the Office of Federal Procurement Policy. When we come back, I want to talk to Dan a little bit more about some of the issues that he's dealing with, like strategic sourcing, but also insourcing and inherently governmental function. You're listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
What do successful small, medium, and large federal contractors, including two-thirds of the top 100, have in common? Membership in the Coalition for Government Procurement. Successful federal contractors know they get the information edge they need on developing acquisition trends and an effective voice to protect their interests from coalition membership. For nearly 30 years, the Coalition's been the trusted voice of industry, working with federal officials to promote common sense procurement. Know what the best know. Join the Coalition today to protect and grow your company's business. Contact the Coalition at 202-331-0975 or visit their website at thecgp.org. That's 202-331-0975 or thecgp.org. Don't be left wondering what will happen to your federal business in 2009. Contact the Coalition today.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf, where I am Larry Allen, president of the Coalition for Government Procurement, and your host here on Off the Shelf, right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, where we bring you, the listener in government and industry, the very latest developments in the world of commercial solutions procurement. We're talking this half hour to Dan Gordon. Dan is the administrator of the Office of Federal Procurement Policy, the government's chief procurement policy executive. I want to thank you again, Dan, for being on Off the Shelf this afternoon, or this morning. And when we went into that last break, Dan, we had talked about strategic sourcing pretty well, and we wanted to talk a little bit about insourcing in this segment. So tell us a little bit about the draft policy letter that came out recently that talks about inherently governmental function. Talk a little bit about, maybe fill us in about what a draft policy letter is anyway and where that fits in the overall scheme of things and where you all are hoping to come out at the end of this process.
Absolutely, Larry. We issued on March 31st in the Federal Register, we issued a draft OFPP policy letter. That policy letter addresses work reserved for federal employees. We really talk about three different kinds of work and three different kinds of ways of handling that work. One is inherently governmental, which we remind people must be done 100% by federal employees. Two is work that's closely associated with inherently governmental. That work can be contracted out, but there are conditions and controls that need to be in place, especially to be sure that the contractor's work doesn't expand into inherently governmental functions. And three is critical functions, where, again, the work can be contracted out. There, the key control is, does the federal government and do federal employees maintain control of the government's operations and missions? It is a draft. We're waiting for public comments. People have 60 days from March 31st to submit comments. We suspect there'll be a lot of comments. We're looking forward to them. Once we've worked our way through the comments, the goal is to have the final version issued either late summer or early fall. It's an OFPP policy letter. You asked why that form. Partly because there was such a document in 1992 that was also an OFPP policy letter. We recognize that some of the content would have to be implemented through changes to the Federal Acquisition Regulation. But the policy letter is a good place to start. It would provide uniform guidance across the military and civilian agencies.
So hoping to get lots of comments on that. And for people who want to comment, again, the deadline is 60 days from March 31st. So in layman's terms, that's around the end of May.
Yes.
So happy Memorial Day to all of you all out there. Get your comments in to Dan on this by Memorial Day weekend or you're done.
I'm planning on reading every comment personally.
Very good. Well, we're certainly going to send some in on that. I know another issue, Dan, that you wanted to talk about was interagency contracting, and that's an issue that does get a lot of attention here in terms of company agencies, rather, that put contracts in place for use of other agencies. It's an area that Congress has looked at in terms of providing some oversight, and I know it's one that your former agency, GAO, asked a lot of questions about. What are you all doing in Office of Federal Procurement Policy right now on interagency contracting, and you know, what are you trying to develop?
I want us to take a fresh look at this issue. I do know it from my GAO background. I think it was a question that, as I recall, Senator Collins asked me in my confirmation hearing last November. It's clearly, as you say, an issue that the Hill cares about, that the agencies are concerned about. I hear from vendors that they have concern that they are having to invest bid and proposal costs to get onto multiple contracts that feel to them duplicative, but they're afraid that if they don't get on, they'll be closed out. I want us to take a fresh look, and as a result, I'm having us meet with agencies and with vendors and with trade associations to be sure that we hear all the views that are out there. I've already met with GSA. I'm meeting shortly with NIH that has one of these government-wide acquisition contracts at GWAC. We're going to have various public forums. Some of them we've organized. Some of them we're participating in forums organized by others. I want there to be a full airing of the different points of view so that we can make decisions on, for example, the pending request from NIH to renew their GWAC, but also think about all of the GWACs as well as the informal interagency contracts, the ones that don't actually have that GWAC label, but nonetheless serve other agencies in addition to the agency actually awarding the contract.
So hoping to get a good dialogue with the idea that once you get that body of knowledge together that can help what? Drive best practices and good management decisions?
Absolutely. We need decisions on requests for GWACs, because that's a place where my office has a formal role, but I think we also want to reach some sort of an appropriate policy on those less formal interagency contracts as well.
So something that's going to be ongoing and certainly something that we're going to follow closely, because you're right. From a contractor perspective, I think the general answer to how many contract vehicles do you need are more than one, but less than what we have now. And, of course, I leave it to you, Dan, because, you know, that's your pay grade right there to figure out what that magic number is. I always try to be helpful to my guests here on Off the Shelf. So, you know, lastly, in addition to these high-profile areas, Dan, you're also charged with chairing the FAR Council, which is the organization that vets and recommends changes to the federal acquisition regulations. There are currently a ton of cases open here that, while they may not attract the attention of some of the other things we've been talking about this half hour, they are high profile enough inside this procurement community. What are the top two or three that you're working on right now that would impact the government's acquisition system?
Absolutely, Larry. Let me tell you that I'm somebody that believes in being thorough and gathering the facts and listening to people, but I'm also someone that believes that it is important to move faster than we often do. And that is my colleagues who are working with me here at OFPP and in the agencies involved in the FAR process know that I am committed to making the FAR process move more quickly than it has in the past. If I had to name the top cases that we have, one of them involves interagency contracting, where I'm hopeful we'll move out promptly. There's one that involves blanket purchase agreements, a subject that is dear to my heart, where there was an interesting GAO report issued a few months ago that I had nothing to do with, by the way, but nonetheless, an excellent report. There is a FAR case involving organizational conflicts of interest, another subject dear to my heart, where I think we have there is a real crying need for more guidance from our contracting officers, but from the vendors as well. We need clarity with respect to organizational conflicts of interest. I have some concern about the situation out in the field, and I want that FAR rule to get out there as promptly as we can and probably supplement it with guidance in addition to the FAR rule itself.
Well, that's a big issue for us, and certainly one that you're dead on right. I can't go anywhere in talking to any of the companies that I work with about organizational conflicts of interest, and I suspect they would probably like as much guidance as they can get on that to make sure that they're doing the right thing. There are lots of companies with different approaches here, but there's only one Dan Gordon. And Dan, the administrator of the Office of Federal Procurement Policy, I want to thank you for being my guest here on Off the Shelf today.
Larry, I appreciate it. I enjoy talking with you. I like getting out to the field, listening to people in the government, in the private sector, on the Hill.
You've been listening to Off the Shelf with Larry Allen of the Coalition for Government Procurement. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Off the Shelf, Tuesday mornings at 10:30, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. WFED, your source for federal news now.
Tired of playing catch-up with the news? Stay informed all the time with the Federal News Flash. The Federal News Flash is a daily email from Federal News Radio that will bring you the latest news and information about the federal government and the federal contracting world. Find out about exclusive stories and interviews only heard on Federal News Radio. Sign up for the Federal News Flash at federalnewsradio.com. Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, your source for